Good morning. Will you all pray with me? Father God, Lord, we thank you so much that we can gather this morning in your name. We can come here to worship you and hear your words and be in fellowship. Father, please be with us. Please set me aside up here this morning and speak your words through me. And Lord, please soften all of our hearts. Let us to hear them and to change our lives. Lord, it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We've all heard the parable of the wise and foolish builder, right? It's one of the most quoted, well-known passages of Scripture that there is. If we believe in Jesus, like the wise builder, nothing bad's ever going to happen to us. If we don't, then we're like the foolish builder, and everything's going to collapse, right? Well, as much as that's like a nice and fun children's story, that's not really what the text is saying. If we look closely at it, we can see that just like a house, it reveals actual steps to building our life by following Jesus. So if you'll join me in Luke 6:46, I'll give y'all a minute. I don't have any slides because I'm not that technically savvy. I'm reading from the NIV if that helps anybody. Says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." So, the first thing, like any passage, we want to do to understand this is determine the audience. Who is Jesus talking to here? And conveniently, this one's pretty clear about that, because if you go back to verse 17, it says that a large crowd of his disciples was there, plus people that had come from Judea, Jerusalem, Tyre, and Sidon to be healed of diseases and cured of impure spirits. And that makes sense at the beginning of 46, where it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" Jesus is addressing people who are already some level of believers. People don't come from all over the country to be healed by a man they think is fake, and they don't call him Lord. This passage clearly simply is not about believing in Jesus, because the people he is correcting here already believed in him. In fact, believing in Jesus is essentially like a prerequisite step before you can even worry about building your life on him. So to be clear, in the modern sense, that means this text is talking about us, the people of the church, not non-believers. There are plenty of passages in the Bible that talk about non-believers and how to get them to the first step, but this one is about people that are already here. So if you, like I had a little bit, might have been skimming over this story because it's so common, you know, who hasn't heard this one? Or, you know, I already believe in Jesus. We can't really anymore, because this one is for us. So now, you know, we've established who Jesus is referring to here. We need to figure out what teachings he's talking about. Can't very well say, you know, why do you hear my teaching and not put them into practice, not know what teachings you're referring to. And to do that, we got to look back at our audience that we just figured out. You know, it says that his disciples were there. So it wouldn't be necessarily wrong to attribute this passage to every teaching Jesus gave. Certainly, he never taught anything that was bad. He didn't make any retractions. Everything Jesus taught was good. And so it's pretty safe to apply this passage to all of them. But if you do that, you can miss some things. Because while every teaching of Jesus is good, this passage has some that it is referring to specifically. So if we go back a couple of verses in that same message to 27, it says this: "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to others who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full, but love your enemy, even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So the first teaching we can see that Jesus is referring to is loving your enemy. He then continues in verse 37, with do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Excuse me. So the second thing here is not judging others. He then finishes in verse 43, with no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So the third thing Jesus is talking about here is bearing good fruit. And that's not bad fruit, but it's also not no fruit. It's good fruit. And these are all active things, not passive ones. Just like building a house is an active thing, building your life is. And we are called to build our life by following Jesus. And some of these lines are really hard. You know, if someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. These are hard things to come to terms with. It's easy to push them to the back of your mind, just be like, you know, my faith covers me. But that's not what building your life by following Jesus looks like. So when you think about building something, you know, it might be building something with your hands. For me, a lot of times it's like a project, like a school project or a presentation or something. And I've done plenty of those. And if I'm being honest, I have been known to underprepare on occasion. I'm sure some of you can relate. Usually, I do pretty well. So one time I decided I just wasn't going to prepare at all. I had a presentation going. I was just going to put some vague things on some slides, get some pictures, crack a couple jokes, and it'd be fine. And as you might expect, did not go well. I didn't necessarily fail, but like I missed a whole section, and I definitely did not do as well as I would have liked to. And that was me believing in my own ability to succeed when I didn't put the work in. And I failed. My project collapsed. That's not what we want for our lives. We need to do the work of building our life by following Jesus so that when the time comes, we do not collapse. So now, you get how to be the wise builder. You know, do what Jesus says, put it into practice. But it's important to understand what being the wise builder actually looks like. It's not that nothing bad will ever happen to you. And in fact, Jesus is very clear that suffering in this world is on the path to following him. If we look a little farther back in that same message, Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. He then goes on to give woes to people doing the opposite. And to be honest with you, that all doesn't sound very fun in the short term. But that is the reality of being a follower of Jesus. We know that the wind and the rain are coming to our lives. But if we do the work, we repair well, we prepare well by building our life following Jesus, then when they come, we won't collapse. Our lives won't be destroyed. If you do the work, your faith will not fail you, and you will be able to get through the time of trial, honoring and glorifying God. And the best illustration of that is Jesus himself. In Matthew 4, right after Jesus' baptism, he goes into the wilderness, he fasts for 40 days, and the Bible makes it very clear that even though Jesus is the Son of God, he was hungry at the time. Jesus took on mortal flesh and all the suffering and all the hardship that goes with it. And the devil came calling. He went to Jesus to tempt him, told him, turn some stones into bread. But Jesus resisted him. He responded with scripture. Took Jesus to the top of the temple, told him to jump, get caught by the angels, prove with one display of power who he is. Jesus knew where his life was going. Jesus knew what God's plan was and how that turned out for him. And it wasn't very pleasant toward the end. But Jesus resisted. He responded with scripture. The devil took him to the top of a mountain, told him he would give him all the kingdoms of the world if he would just bow down and worship him. But again, Jesus was able to resist the devil. And he responded with scripture, and it says the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. Jesus lived his life in a way that he knew was right, and he set that example for all of us. When he was tempted and suffering, he was able to resist the devil and follow the path of righteousness. And he's the one calling us to build our lives by following him, so that when we are faced with that same temptation and with the suffering of this world, we are able to resist and not be destroyed. So what does this look like for us? Well, if the devil was willing to go and attempt to tempt the Son of God, you better believe that he's coming after you too. And just believing in Jesus likely will not be enough to resist when the time comes, because as the Bible says, even the demons know who Jesus is. We need to do the work to build our lives by following Jesus. And that's not to say that anybody's expected to be perfect. That's not a realistic expectation. That's not saying that at all. Because we will always need the grace and the mercy of God that came through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins. That's without question. What I am saying is that the best way to set yourself up for success is to build your life by following Jesus. And maybe, you know, this text has the hardest parts of that, some of the hardest parts, because maybe like loving your enemy, you know, there's plenty of people in my own life who, if they took my coat, first thought would not be to give them my shirt as well. Maybe it's not a coat for you. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's a million other little things. But the Bible says that when somebody takes from us, we are not supposed to withhold. Maybe it's judging people. You know, I personally struggled with this one. It's so easy to judge people because they annoy you, or they're different from you, or they believe different things than you do. But, you know, that's not what we're called to as Christians. Our job as Christians, when it comes to dealing with other people, is to share with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's hard, but if you ever think about going after the speck in someone else's eye, you got to try to remember the plank in your own. And maybe it's bearing good fruit. Maybe you love your enemy. You try never to judge others, but you're not doing anything. Maybe you're content to exist in your own space, not mess with anybody, but you're not helping either. You know, not saying you need to be spending every day doing back-breaking labor until you collapse from exhaustion to help other people. That's not it. But if someone comes to you for help, you should help them. Somebody comes to you from need, you should not turn them away, right? You know, if you're given an opportunity to do good for somebody, then that is what you should do. And if you feel God calling you to go somewhere, that's where you should go. Simple. So we see that in this story, Jesus is speaking to his believers. He's speaking to us. He's explaining that if we truly believe him to be our Lord, then we should be obedient to him and do as he says. We should love our enemy, not judge others, and bear good fruit in this world, because that is the example that he set for us, and that is what he calls us to do. So as we're going out into our lives, you know, we should try to remember these things, take them to heart, and work on actively building our lives by following Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, we thank you again so much for letting us gather here today. We thank you for the beautiful weather we've had this morning. Lord, please help us all to hear your words, to take them to heart. Help us all to check ourselves, to see where we have struggled and where we have failed. And Lord, please give us what we need to build our lives by following you. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.